Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life, since you cannot do this very little thing? Why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock. Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord.
Did you know that completely black dogs and cats are much harder for shelters and humane societies to place than dogs and cats of other colors? Any of you aware of that? Yeah. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? There are a number of ideas that people think about. One is that shelter staff, as they see these people walk on by without turning in to looking for the other dogs and cats, not giving them a second glance, they've begun to think about why that is. One of the suggestions is that fully black animals do not photograph as well. And those of us who are on some kind of social media see the posting of some kind of a dog or a cat, and then there are 1,000 comments, "Oh, I would take that right away if I just lived there. I would add that to my pet family. I would..." And so apparently they don't post as many of those photographs, so there isn't the fervor and excitement. People don't plan to come to shelters because they haven't seen a black cat or dog, and so they come predisposed looking for something else. There's also the fact that because black animals don't get taken as quickly, there are more of them, because when space opens up, when a tabby-colored or an orange or a light-colored dog gets adopted, then there's a space for another black dog to be able to be in it. It's complicated. It's a difficult thing for us to think about, especially in light of the Black Lives Matter in our country that raises such fervor. And we're going to address that in some other place and time. But think about that, what it is that makes us feel about not good about black animals. Historically, writing about entirely black animals are associated with doom and death. Today's bird is the raven. After looking at a number of birds this summer, we're here. It is a member of the same family as the crow. And animals that are seen as completely black, as the raven is, claws, beak, dark, dark eyes, are seen to be sinister. In fact, it used to be believed that ravens were so in touch with death that they would fly over a particular place where a person was going to meet their death. Although, I'm not sure when they were supposed to know when a bird was just flying and when it was actually indicating a death. But you know, with a lot of those old folktale things, when you get to the actual specific details, they kind of fall apart a little bit. In any case, ravens, crows, all blackbirds in general were seen as bringing curses and bad news and omens of disaster, except for certain places in the Bible, which is one of the reasons I never give up on this book, because it keeps opening up life for me in places and in times when I would be tempted to close it down. There's something new that springs forth from the Word of God. So in today's first Bible passage, the wonderful piece that Jennifer sang to us about, Elijah has prophesied against King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And they were people who were doing everything wrong in the eyes of the Lord God of Israel. They were worshiping the early fertility gods. They were stealing parcel of land after parcel of land from poor people. If you want to know how not to live, check out Ahab and Jezebel, because they really get it wrong. Elijah has been called to read them the riot act, and he's terrified because they have 600 priests of Baal who are also going to be on the warpath for him, in addition to Ahab and Jezebel. But Elijah says, I will follow the Lord, and he goes and he says to them, because of your abominable behavior, because of your unfaithfulness to the Lord God Almighty, there will be not even dew, let alone rain in the land for the next few years, unless I bid it come. And then Elijah's, where can I go to get out of this? Because I am in the path of destruction now that I have called out the powerful people for being wrong. And God tells him where to go and promises him that he will be taken care of. He sends him to a brook, one of the few brooks that haven't dried up. And he tells him that the ravens will come every morning with bread and meat, and every night with bread and meat. And that is exactly what happened. This is a positive recital of raven behavior. And although we're not told much about the specifics of where the birds got the bread, whether they stole it or made it, or whether it was some kind of manna-like substance, or even whether it was some kind of a fruit that was bread-like, or where they got the meat, or whether the meat was just, you know, a rodent dropped in front of Elijah, or a fully already cooked mignon, we don't have so much trouble believing that they were able to do that. Or maybe it's more accurate to say that people who study ravens and crows don't see this as too hard a task for them, because they are the most clever birds ever. Ravens, crows, and their family of birds called the corvid are the smartest birds. Sally Roth, in her book, An Eye on the Sparrow, writes, all of the raven and its cousins are in the corvid family. Crows, jays, magpies, rooks, and jackdaws, they are quite literally geniuses. They can solve problems, they can use tools, they can remember things to a degree that even we are unable to do, and they can figure out things using logic. In other words, ravens and that whole family of birds think, which we might not find so extraordinary, but the reality is that most other animals simply survive because of a highly evolved combination of instinct, learned behavior, and habit. But ravens and crows think. There's another writer that I read who said that you put up a new bird feeder and the chickadees and the other birds come flying at it and are like, where do I get the food and where do my legs go? And they smash into it and they fly up again and they... But the raven just watches and watches. And when the raven finally flies to the new feeder, everything goes smoothly because they have consequential thinking, which we wish many of our young people had, right? And sometimes our spouses. Ravens have this. It is an extraordinary gift that they bring to the natural world, and they use it to great advantage. They are playful. Ravens will take snow slides off of roofs and do loop-de-loops when they come off the roof. Ravens will play toss with one another in the air. One will get a stick, and as they fly, they'll drop it and try to catch it before another bird can come and catch it. Ravens will do somersaults, and ravens will even fly upside down. So not only do they think, but they entertain themselves, which is an unbelievable and extraordinary thing. Ravens will play with themselves and with other birds, and they will be present in the midst of the community. I think that ravens are the most human-like birds there are, because don't we do those same things? Don't we think? Don't we consequentially plan things out? Don't we entertain ourselves and delight ourselves? Don't we tease, which ravens do? Aren't we attracted to shiny things? Which brings us to our second scripture. When Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes." In Matthew, he says, "Consider the birds," but in Luke, Jesus' words are, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, they have no storehouse or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds?" Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the sparrows, and we talked about how birders don't like them. They call them little brown jobbers. They don't have much personality. They don't have much beauty. And yet we in Scripture find that even God cares for them, so how much more will God care for us? I feel like the sparrow part of this story is when we have bad self-image or don't feel like we're much, we can say, well, if God loves a sparrow, God could love even crummy old me. In the raven part where Jesus says, consider the raven, God takes care of them, I feel like that's much more in the overactiveness of my brain place where I'm told that God will care for me. I love that Jesus is talking about food and clothing because seriously, that's 75% of my life. I'm thinking about what I want to eat, or what I'm going to eat, or what I wish I could eat, or what I want to wear, or what cute top would go with this great skirt, or, oh, those shoes are on sale. An enormous amount of my busy brain life is full of food and clothing. It's full of desire. And it's full of desire that sometimes when I address it feels so superficial and so far from the kingdom of God, that I'm ashamed and embarrassed. And yet Jesus says, God takes care of the ravens. How much more will God take care of you? One of the things that's talked about ravens is that they are birds of desire. They amass trinkets. They find any kind of shiny, beautiful thing, and they take it back, and they have a hoard of it, kind of like some of us do. I don't think Jesus said ravens, just like, think of a ugly big bird that doesn't have a pretty song, but instead croaks. Rah, rah. There were a murder of crows in my backyard this morning, and it was a late night and an early morning, and I didn't sleep well, and ooh. Rah, rah, rah. You've heard it, right? I think Windsor has been taken over by crows this summer. They're everywhere. They wake me up most mornings. They're not pretty. The songbirds that I kept hearing at 5:30 when the dog needed to go out early in this series, they made me glad to be awake. The crows just make me cross, like I put another pillow on my head. Stop it! Jesus doesn't pick out the ravens simply because they're not attractive in any way, shape, or form. I think he picks out the ravens because they're like us. They are daunted by their pursuit of stuff, by their desire for food and shiny things, just as we are. And God says, even in your unbelievably non-stoppable acquisitiveness, even in your hunger that doubts that I'll take care of you, still I will love you. These birds that God blesses and cares for, that give us hope that God can care for even us, are a gift to us. The raven is one of the, and the family of birds, they have brains comparatively to their bodies as big as we do. They're the only species that does. And I think they are hemmed in by their thoughts in the same way we are. Many of us in this community are overwhelmed by grief at this point. The would've, could've, should've's, the whys, the heartbreak of what has happened. And I think that the raven reminds us that even when our thoughts are swirling and our feet don't feel like they are on solid ground, God says, I'll take care of you. I will love you. I will walk with you. I will uphold you. And once again, you will be playful. And shiny things will bring you delight. Not that that's the totality of what you should be focused upon, but a little of that is okay. Let us be together. Do my work of feeding my servants like the ravens fed Elijah, but also just rest in my love and know that you will heal and you will thrive and you will love. Thanks be to God that Jesus said, consider the raven and know that you are worth even more than this bird. May we care for the raven and its environment, but may we know that God cares for us forever and ever and ever, no matter what we're thinking, no matter what we're preoccupied with, because we are God's beloved children. Thanks be to God for the raven and for all God's mercies, especially now. Amen.